We mentioned the previous week and the week before that regarding Rabbi Chaim Volozhin, that an einikel of his, a grandchild of his, became the scar of the Hasidus. As a matter of fact, some opinions were that it was his son, but it actually turns out that it was not really his son, but it really was an einikel, be as it may. It's an interesting fact, just to add the general idea of Reb Chaim Volozhin, of course, who was a very serious Talmud of the Goyim, and one of the greatest Talmud of the Goyim. Of course, as such, one can understand he had personal opposition to the whole movement, the Hasidic movement, as it was, again, at the time, which the Goyim was one of the strongest opponents to the Hasidic movement. And there was, of course, the great disagreement, of course, between him and the Balatanya regarding Hasidus, of course. And this was very, very strong just in general, because it just spread from one to the other two camps, which was the camp of the Misnagdim, and he had the camp of the Hasidim. The camp of Misnagdim in many areas went so strong that, in fact, the great Rabbonim of various Mekoimis, actually they signed a document which was really a cherem against the whole movement of Hasidus. Just what comes to mind is, and I have to have a copy of that, I mean, it's a printed copy, not the actual original copy, and that's, for example, in the Krakow itself. In the Krakow, where the Mor Vishomish, who is buried there, one of the great Hasidic masters, who became a chosid, of the Rebbe Meilich, who happened to pass by in Krakow. And he saw the Stahavis and the brand of Avodas Hashem of the Rebbe Meilich of Luzhensk. So he said that his neshama right away became attached. And he says, I have to become a chosid of Rebbe Meilich, and one thing led to another. He didn't even have enough money to travel to Luzhensk at the time. He had a shver gevir about it, but would not support him, give him a ticket to go to Luzhensk. So he was also against the whole idea. So he sold whatever he had, chosin matonis, that he had received, and sold that in order to be able to travel to come to Luzhensk. The rest is history. He himself became a master of a tremendous great Hasidic leader, and his son further in that. There's still a Beis Medrash, which was known the Yidden here from Rabbi Karski Shul, Rabbi Shleger Shver, Rab Urden's Beis Medrash. Rab Urden was a son of the Mor Vishemish. That Rab Urden's Beis Medrash is still a member of Krakow, so that continued on. But the Rabbonim of Krakow, the leaders of Krakow, they proclaimed a cherem against Hasidim. That was in Krakow itself, very strong. And so also in different areas, that the opposition was so fierce that they actually signed a cherem, different Rabbonim and different kehilas, to make sure that Hasidim do not make any inroads and do not matzliach to grow. At least go someplace else. Don't come over here. So it's very interesting. Reb Chaim Volozhin was also asked to sign on the ban, on the cherem against Hasidim. He did not sign. In spite of the fact that we say that he was the Talmud of the Goyen and his Rebbe was one of the leaders of the Misnagdim against the Hasidic movement, Reb Chaim did not sign, ever. And Sholem Shvadron said that he heard personally from the Brisker Rov, right? So this has to be pretty reliable. Sholem said that he heard from the Brisker Rov, he said, I heard once, that the Sibbe why Reb Chaim did not sign on the cherem against Hasidim ever, in different areas, different venues, was because Reb Chaim once was zoiche to receive, to be mekabel, a great toiva from one of the admoirim, one of the great rebbes, Hasidic rebbes, and Reb Chaim made a cheshbon. In the same way that we find that Moshe Rabbeinu, when it came right to the Eser Makos, right, the Mak of Dam, Moshe Rabbeinu himself said, I am not the one who is able to take the stick, right, and to plague the Yam, and to turn the Yam, turn the Yoyer, turn the river, right, to turn the river into Dam. Why? Because the Yoyer saved my life. That's the story of Moshe Rabbeinu in the basket, right? His mother put him, right, they put him on the water, and then he was rescued by Batsheba Baspara, and the rest is history. So being that the Yoyer saved his life, so Moshe Rabbeinu, Rashi tells us, Moshe Rabbeinu never said, I cannot be the Shliach, Lahakois es HaYoyer, in order to strike the Yoyer. Why? The Yoyer did him a toive. So the Brisker Rov said, this is what Sholem Shvadron said, he heard from him, that being that Reb Chaim once received a toive gedoyla from one of the great Rebisha Admoirim, from the great Rebisha Rebis, so immediately felt therefore it is osir for him, because he owes a debt of gratitude, he owed a debt of gratitude, is also to sign anything against Chassidim, because once he was a Mekabel HaToyva. Rav Sholem said, however, he never heard what was exactly the Toyva. What was exactly the Toyva that he had received? Biskrov did not mention it, only mentioned just in general. That Rav Chaim once received was Mekabel HaToyva, and because of Akoras HaToyv, did not sign on the ban. So Rav Sholem said that once he saw Ksavim from a sefer called Minchas Yosef, he says, and then there's a Maise. And then there's a Maise. He says, I'm not sure, he says, if that is the Maise, but certainly this Maise is a Maise where Reb Chaim received tremendous toivo, he says, from Chassidim. So he's talking that, in fact, that was that Maise, which, as a result of that, Reb Chaim, as a course of toivo, did not sign on the ban. Now, what was that Maise that's mentioned in the sefer Minchas Yosef? The Maise brings that as follows. Interesting, Reb Chaim followed in the path of his Rebbe the Goyin in many areas. Not just, of course, in the study of Torah in his Zanhoge, but we know the Goyin had a meaning that he was Mekabel upon himself, and that is Mizuk Tavidish Siladin Gulis. That means he used to travel, leave home, go to places where they would never recognize him. That be, in other words, to take upon himself Tzoras Yisrael. To take upon himself Tzoras Yisrael, and hopefully be Mekabel of the Gula by actually absorbing upon himself all the different Tzoras. That's the idea of going into Golus. Nobody would recognize him, and therefore, of course, no one would give him COVID, and so on and so forth. And be very a difficult lifestyle to go ahead and wander from place to place. Reb Chaim also did that for a while. He went out to Golus in different areas, and he reaches a place, a city, it's called Alik. So it's mentioned that Sefer Minchas Yosef. He reaches a place, it's called Alik, which happened to be a Hasidic conclave, an area that had a stronghold of Chassidim. As he goes over there, so what does Reb Chaim do? Of course, he's glad he goes, not telling anybody he's Reb Chaim Volozhin. What Reb Chaim does is he goes into the Beis Medrash, he sits down to learn. He does not even ask anyone to give him any food, nothing. Does not introduce himself, does not ask from anything, anybody. People over there, it was a Chassidic place. Mesait Ayid, a friend of Mensch, you know, you don't know who he is. You don't ask too many questions. You know, so you can assume that he's hungry. He's sitting in his medrash all day, so Poshet, they gave him food and so on and so forth. They saw this Yid was sitting, about this young man was learning about the Hasmada Gedoyla, so they fed him and so on. Without, they didn't want to bother him to ask him that he has to who he is and where he's coming from. Sayid, you have to help out Yid. And so this is what they did. After a few days or so spending time in that city, Reb Chaim took very ill. Literally took very ill. He became a Choyle Mesukin. And in that city, the Rebbe's name was Reb Hirsch of Alik, because the city name was Alik. And the Rebbe's name was Reb Hirsch of Alik, who, by the way, was considered to be one of the Talmidim of the Baal Shem Tov. Reb Hirsch of Alik. He was considered to be a great tzaddik. And when the Rebbe heard of this young man, not knowing who he is at all, this friend of young man who is here in town, he's very, very sick. So he gave instructions for his Hasidim to take care of him and to do whatever is necessary to restore him back to his health. Matter of fact, it was sort of a hospital that they were there. And the Rebbe instructed that there should always be someone with him, Yoyim of Alayla, not to leave him alone because he's a Choyle Mesukin. To make sure to do everything impossible, to see what he needs, give him everything that it needs, and so on and so forth until he actually becomes well. In Kachoye, but after quite a while, the Maise, he had a Refu Shalema, and the Tzaddik, which is the Admir, the Maise still intervened by the doctors to allow Reb Chaim to remain in the hospital an extra day or two just in case, just to make sure that he's really out of the machla and that it's not, you know, going to come back and so on and so forth. So this is the situation, so Reb Sholem says, so here is my, I saw it in the Sefer, in this Ksov, in the Sefer Michas Yosef, saw this tremendous Toivah, which this Rebbe did by instructing his Chassidim to take care of Reb Chaim. So you're talking, said that was the Maise. And the Kaponim, as a result, that's maybe what Briskerov was referring to. But the Kaponim, whether it's that Maise or different Maise, he received the Toivah from Chassidim, so because of Akoras HaToiv, did not sign the ban. Did not sign the ban against Chassidim. Just interesting, so the Inya of Akoras HaToiv, we saw by Moshe Rabbeinu, we saw the idea. Akoras HaToiv, Moshe Rabbeinu is not the one, says it's not, I cannot be the one to be able to go and strike the Yor, to strike the river. Because the river did me a favor. So, interesting, when the great Balamusar, and that is the Itzel Petterberger, of course, the Bitzel Blazer, was the great Talmidim of Rav Yisrael Salanter. So he once related the following Maise. Yitzchak Blazer, Reb Itzel Petterberger, of course later on he was Oyel Teretz Yisrael. Bichlal, he was a mute, he was a tremendous goyin. From him, Shal Sechut, there's a sefer called Pri Yitzchak. He was a tremendous goyinus. But in the Velt he's introduced and always about Rabbi Yitzchok Petterburg being the great, great Baal Musar. That's sort of like many times overshadows, we don't think of him, or maybe not many are aware, or enough are not aware, in terms of what a great Goyen he was, besides being a Baal Musar. I think he was first a Goyen, then he became a Baal Musar. This is evident, you know, from the Choshev Sefer, which is a Sefer called Pri Yitzchok. Bechlal, he was a Mir Tadibur Yid, who speak very, very little. He was very makbid, of course, Shmir Salosh is poshit, nothing to talk about. Rachilis or Shahar, that's poshit. But even things that you're mutter to speak, the Varm, the tail, nothing. You'd be very careful. Chodesh Ella, for example, Reb Shalom once related, said Chodesh Ella, who would have Tainus Dibur. Gans Chodesh Ella would not speak, only in Yonim of Learning, would not speak. As a matter of fact, he said when he got married, he already had that minhug. So he felt that before he gets married, he has to, right? He has to be Megal, he has to tell his future Kala, this is his custom, she can live with it. But if you can live with it, because listen, he can't just get married and spring it on her. So before I got married, he told, listen, if you're masking, he said, this is my hog, I want you to know, we can't really communicate. That was his thing. So, okay, she accepted it. Fine. So it turns out that his wife had a baby, So, of course, he visits her in the hospital and spends time with her. But anything they had to say, he wrote Mazel Tov on a piece of paper. This was the Mitzvah Petterburger. When he arrived from Chutz Laaretz to Eretz Yisrael, the boat arrives in Yafo. That's where they all arrive. So when the great Baal Musar, the great Goyen, Rabbi Yitzchok, arrives in Yafo, so Mamela, so who doesn't come to be Mekabel Ponen, you know, right, at the port? Be Mekabel Ponen, this great Goyen, the great Tzaddik, Baal Musar. And they bring him in, and they had a Kabbalah spot him in a hall. And Ulam, they had a hall. And of course, then they had a speaker to be Mekabel Ponim and so on and so forth. And they asked Rabbi Yitzchok, they said, Rabbi Yitzchok, listen, you're the guest of honor here. We all are here for you. Please honor us with a few words. Please honor us with a few words. And the Rabbi Yitzchok said as follows. He says, the Gemara says that Kosh Baruch Hu prepared the tongue, right? That a person should not be nichshol. He's speaking Lashon Hara, saying the wrong things. Kosh Baruch Hu gave the tongue two shomrim. One is the mouth and one are the teeth. So this is the Gemara. The tongue has two shomrim because the tongue is behind. There's the mouth, right? You close the mouth, you close your teeth. The tongue has two shomrim to make sure that the tongue does not become nichshol and saying the wrong thing. With Rabbi Yitzchok Azoy. Teeth I don't have anymore, but an altayid, and I don't rely on one shomer. only have the mouth is the only thing. Katzayin habach nish and of ein shomer falozach mechnish. He said, "This was Rabbi Yitzchok." So Rabbi Yitzchok related, and he said that in the town that he lived was a yid, a great tzaddik, and he was a porush. A porush is someone who voluntarily takes upon himself that he's going to live his life separating himself from any tanugah or lamazeh. It's a high madrega. This yid was a parish, and this yid was a parish to an extent, it's not only chodesh el, to an extreme. Mamish to an extreme that one can say sometimes up to a fault. He was such a parish that he would not speak and only he write things biksav. Also, during the day he would only eat just a couple of kezesim. Very, very minimal. Just enough, as they say, lahach yusis nafshoy. Just enough to continue to be able to live. He says that was and the bread that he ate was a little bit, says pieces of bread that was soaked in water and so on, and that little piece he would swallow right away, like to minimize any enjoyment that he might have had, even a little bit that he's eating, to minimize the enjoyment, like swallow it quickly. If you don't chew it, you just swallow it right away. It's like swallowing a pill. Right? You're not married. You're not experiencing anything. And also, as far as sleeping, he would sleep very, very little, and the little that he slept also would not sleep in a bed, too comfortable to sleep in a bed, and so on and so forth. And Hamaisa, he had this obsession, you know, with the extreme hanhogis and chumris that he imposed upon himself. He was still worried, maybe he's not yoytze yidei chayvosoi. Maybe not yoytze chayvosoi. I think that in America they give everything a label, they call it like OCD. You know, somebody who has an obsession about a certain situation, that's what they call it. It's obsessive, compulsive, you know. So this is the situation. Lamaisa, this was his anhogit. So, and Rabbi Yitzchok, when he came, Rabbi Yitzchok, the great Baal Musar, came to Sviva. So he came, he was Mater Neder. He was Mater Neder, you know, to be able to speak to him. And he says to him, and he says to him, he says to Rabbi Yitzchak, says, listen, Rabbi, you are a Talmud of Rishos Salanter. Rabbi Yitzchak was a Talmud of Rishos Salanter. He said, you are a Talmud of Rishos Salanter. So Mamela, he says, I'm sure that you have Ruach HaKodesh. He says to Rabbi Yitzchak, I'm sure that you are Ruach HaKodesh. So tell me what my averus are, because I'll be able to do tshuva. That's what this Porush, the seed who separated himself, isolated himself, he says to Rabbi Yitzchak, I'm sure that you are about Ruach HaKodesh. So tell me what you see in my neshama, in the areas that I have to do tshuva. And Mamela, make sure to do tshuva on these areas. So Lamaiser, what Rabbi Yitzchak told him, he says, you know what? He says, I'm going to Kovne. And he says to him, you know what? It's a good idea. Maybe you go visit Rabbi Yisrael. And ask Rabbi Yisrael, because he's, after all, he's the father. He's my Rebbe. He's the father of the Musar Mu Bechlal. Ask him about your Hanhoge and how he can help you out. So as soon as the parish comes into the room of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, he says to Rabbi Yisrael, Rebbe, I'm sure that you have Ruach HaKodesh. You, Rabbi Yisrael, have Ruach HaKodesh. So Mele says, please teach me the way, teach me the proper way in Avodas Hashem. And Rabbi Yisrael says, you know, based upon my knowledge in Shas, and going through all the various Averas, you know, what is a lesser Avera, what is a bigger Avera, is, I think, he says, according to my knowledge in Shas, the greatest Avera of all Averas is if somebody does you a Toiva, and you're a Kofui Toiva. Kofui Toiva means is, right, that you don't recognize a Toiva. Somebody does you a Toiva, Kofui Toiva we find many places in Chazal. It's a terrible thing to be a Kofui Toiva, means that somebody does you a favor, and you don't recognize it. You're not Makir Toiva. So it says the Rishon as follows. So being that one of the most serious, greatest Averas is to be a Kofui Toiva, the greatest Toiva that Kadosh Baruch Hu did, he gave you your health. By being a Porush, you're not a Kofui Toiva that Kadosh Baruch Hu now. You better stop your lifestyle. Totally says your whole lifestyle is wrong. You eat via mensch, you sleep via mensch, you have to act like a normal human being, and serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is what the Rishon said. You want me to point out Averas? Of all Averas, the biggest Avera is to be a Kofui Toiva. The greatest Toiva, that anybody would agree, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you your health. Is there any bigger Toiva? He gives you life. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you health. So in order to preserve the health that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you, that which is the greatest Toiva, you're a Kofui Toiva, he says. That's one of the most serious Averas. So Mele, he says, Faket, change your entire life. So he gave totally a different prescription in Avodas Hashem of how to guard his life. He says, I'm afraid that you're Hanhoge. You thought you'd be tzaddik, you know, he's Mayi B'tanu V'Lamazet, completely separating from the world. He says, no, what you're doing is, that's a Kofi Toiv et HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, that is not the proper behavior. So, we continue now, Rabbi Yitzchak, let's go further. Let's take a look. And actually, we'll go again quickly over some of the few lines that we did not manage to finish the thought. So again, Daf Tezayin, that's where Daf Tezayin, towards the bottom, Oyd Yesh Lefarish. Daf Tezayin. Paragraph begins, Oyd Yesh Lefarish. Okay, again. So Oyd Yesh Lefarish, he says, again, we're trying to explain, says Reb Chaim, in Ruach Chaim here. Yimashe Omar, what it says in Pirkei Avos, it says, Moshe Kibel Torah Misinai. Moshe says he received the Torah Misinai, but regarding Yeshua, it says he transmitted it. Umisara Yeshua. It should say, consistently, it should say Yeshua also was Mekabel from Moshe. Moshe was Mekabel, Yeshua was Mekabel. Yet we have a switch. Moshe was Mekabel, right? He gave it over to Yeshua. Look, if you want to use Mesira, be consistent, say, Kodesh Baruch Hu was Moshe to Moshe, Moshe was Moshe to Yeshua. Doesn't say that. Moshe was Mekabel, but he was Moshe to Yeshua. Why switching from Kabbalah, right, to Mesira? That's the question, he says. Yishtanus ha'losh meloshin Kabbalah le-Mesira. So Yevura says, this can be explained, Al Pima Omr Chazal. Chazal have pointed out, Mesach Tzchum Dav Tzadik Aleph. On the Posek it says, this is a Posek in Eiv. Eiv says, Baron Yachat Koich Ve'Boiker. That the Koich Ve'Boiker, that the morning stars, they sing together. Ron from Loshin Rino. Baron Yachat Koich Ve'Boiker. The stars of the morning stars sing together. Then Behodar, says the Posek in Eiv, Bayoriu kol b'nei Elohim. After the morning stars sing, that's when the b'nei Elohim means that's when the Malachim sing. The morning stars, says Rashi, are referring to the Jewish people. The morning stars refer to the Jewish people because Yisrael al nimshul to kechovin. Yinak compared to many places in the Torah. Right in the beginning, this is parashah Elishmoiz b'nei Yisrael. Haboyim Yisrael, as Rashi say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he says, continues to, because of the love, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because of the Chaviv, HaKadosh Baruch Hu continues to count them. He counts them. Right? He counts each individual Yid. Why? Out of the Chavivis. We find Moira Misper like Kerchavim. Rashi says, Yisrael HaNimshlu to the Kerchavim. So clouds are compared to Kerchavim. So Baron Yachat Koich VeBoiker, when the morning stars, means the Yidin sing in the morning, when they sing together, then Vayariu called Bnei Elokim, then the Bnei Elokim, then the Malochim are able to sound off and to say their Shirim. So the Gemara says, you know what that means? She'ei Malacha Ashores Oimrim Shire Ache Oimrim Yisrael Techila. As great as the Malachim are, they have no reshus to say Shira until the Yidin say Shira. A Malach, any Malach, they have to wait. The Malachim have to wait until the Yidin say Shira. Which means the Malachim are not able to say Kodosh, Kodosh, Kodosh. Right? That's called Kedusha Yeshaleshu, because they say three times Kodosh. HaMishalshim Lecha Kedusha, right? What's Mishalshim? Three. They say Kedusha three times, but they cannot say it until the Yidin first. Until the Yidin first. Ei malacha shoras oimrim shira ad she'oimrim Yisrael techila. Until the Yidin first. By the way, there's a gevaldig gevort in one of the svarim. Why is it? Again, it's just one of many, many reasons. The idea is we find Kerech Rebbeke that Yidin are compared to Kechovim. And again, this week's parsha, right in the opening psukim, Ve'elu Shmoiz B'nei Yisrael, Rashi said that Yisrael compared to Kechovim. There's a gevaldig gevort, why Yisrael compared to Kechovim? And he says as follows. You might remember right away by the beginning of Bria Soil and by creation, it says, Rebbeinu created the Shnei Mo'iris HaGdoilim. The sun and the moon originally were the same size. The Shnei Mo'iris HaGdoilim, the two great luminaries. Rebbeinu created the Shnei Mo'iris HaGdoilim, the sun and the moon, and of course we know the Gemara Chum Daf Samech that the Levana was not happy. The Levana said, Yevshil Shnei Melochim, Lishtamish Bekeserach, you can't have two kings. Rebbeinu said, okay, you become smaller. The chi umayati is atzmei. Chesh Baruch said, okay, you can't have two. Right? Can't have two? You become smaller. So at the end of the day, so now that the Levona is smaller, and this is the way it is, right? The sun is brighter. Matter of fact, the Levona does not have any independent light. The Levona receives her light from the Chamo, from the Ur HaChamo. Until Bi'is HaMashiach, things will change. The Ur HaChamo itself will be Shiva Sayin, will be seven times as much, and so on. But now, as it is, from the time of creation, the Levona now was smaller. Chazal tell us that the Levona Almighty had tremendous chalishes adas. She made a mistake. Opened her mouth. Spoke too soon. So what does Kodesh Baruch Hu do? She wanted to be mafayas the Levona. How did she mafayas? He gave the Levona all the stars. All the millions of stars, right, at night. And that is, right, to be an associate. This is to be together, right, with the Levona. To be mafai the Levona, Kodesh Baruch Hu gave the Levona all of these kerchovim. So says this particular sefer, says a gevaldig gevort. So the whole creation, if you think about it, the whole creation of kerchovim are in order to appease, right, and to make someone feel a little better. The whole idea that kerchovim were because the Levona had chalish sadas, was very upset, was distressed. The whole idea, the whole creation of kerchovim is to give a good feeling, to take someone or another out of distress. That's what Kerchovim are. That's what Yidin are supposed to be. Yisrael Nimshul Kerchovim. The avoid of a Yid is, you see there's another Yid Bitzar, you see there's another Yid, right, that is helpless, another Yid. You should be like the Kerchovim that were created to be Mephaiz Alavonot. That's why Yisrael Nimshul Kerchovim. Because that's the essence of a Yid. That's the hallmark of a Yid. To do what the Tafkid of the Kerchovim were to the Levona, that's the Tafkid of each and every Yid. To another Yid as well. Okay. In any case, so Baron Yachat Koich VeBoiker. So now we have the Koich VeBoiker, which are the Yidden. When they sing, then comes Vayuriyu Kol Bnei Elokim. Then they signed off. Now, Vine BeMedrash. The Medrash says, Isa, Vine Sula Mutzavarza. We find the Yaakovina in his dream was dreamt about the ladder. Now the ladder, one end of it is Mutzavarza, was stationed on the ground. Sula Mutzavarza. And, of course, Varoishoi, the other end is Magia Shemaimo. So the Medrash tells us, and we pointed out last week that this is the Balaturim actually, also mentions this Medrash, that in a Sula Mutzavarza, says the Medrash, and the Balaturim who quotes it, is Do Sinai. That the word Sulam actually is referring to Har Sinai. Why? Says the Medrash, Asvin Dedain, the letters of this is Kedidain. The letters of one is like the letters of the other. Rotzaloimer, Shovin Becheshvin. The Gematri of Sulam without a both. Right, the gematria of Sulam without a vav. What's Sulam without a vav? The Samach is 60. The Lamed, right, is 30, is 90. Right? And then another mem is 40. So Sulam is 130. Gematria Sinai. Sinai is also the Gematria 130. So Mamela, so Sulam, therefore, says the Medrash is referring to Sinai. Now, Vinek, and the significance of that he's going to mention later. But first he's setting up the foundation of the thought that Rachaim is trying to advance. Now, Vinek Chazal Boi Lalamdeinu. Chazal are coming to teach us. Labal Nachshoy, we should not think of ourselves. The man looks at himself, and looks at the fact is, the neshama is something that is in Pinimius. A person does not see his neshama. A person sometimes not even aware he has a neshama. What he's aware of is, unfortunately, what he's aware of is the goof. Right? When he's hungry, it's the goof. When he desires, it's the goof. When he's happy, it's the goof. When he's sad, it's the goof. It's all about the goof. So a person says himself, my goof is such a gashmi, it's a goof. The chelik ha-goof of a person is just as gashmi, is just as earthly as all the other creatures. Mitzad ha-goof, man is no higher than any other animal, than any other beast. So a person, therefore, might think of himself as a lowly creation. He might think of himself as a lowly creation because he looks at the goof. So Chazal come to teach us, Labal Nachshoy, we should not think, Lihyoseinu Mulubashim Bechaymer. The goof is just, what we mentioned last week, the goof is just a levush. So that's not the essence of a person. If a person puts on a beget, right? If let's say, the most I think, I believe we gave, imagine a person was a billionaire, but if he puts on a jacket, a cheap jacket that's only $50, does that mean he's a pauper? The jacket doesn't define the person. The person is behind the jacket. The jacket is just a levush. The goof does not define the person. The goof is just a levush to the neshama. So when a person looks at the cheapness, so to speak, the lowliness of what the body is and what the body is capable of doing, he should not think that that defines the person. Because the goof is only the levush. It's like putting on a beged, right? Which does not define the body. The body is the person, but not the beged. So Mamela, a person should not make a mistake when he realizes that we are malubish b'chaymer, that we are clothed, right? We are wrapped with something so material, like the body. So a person will say, imkain. Oh, being we have such a lowly body, on the nivzim b'ho'emes. So mele take, we are mevuzet. Maybe we take our mevuzet to give people. K'chaymer, no different, he says, than tit chutzet, like lime, like mud, right? Man was created, offer him an adoma. So maybe I'm not more than a piece of mud. That's all. Lozeh Omar. So therefore, comes the posik to tell us not like that. The posik comes to tell us, this is not so. Because the ikar chiyu yiseinu is minish moiseinu. Our chiyu is not the goof. As a matter of fact, without the neshama, the goof is nothing. So our koich chiyu is really the neshama. So how can you think that the goof defines you if the goof does not have any chiyu? The moment the neshama leaves, the goof is finished. It's dormant. It's gone. So obviously, the essence of the person is not the goof. The essence of the person, what gives him chiyu, what is his life for, that's the neshama. So what defines the person, therefore, is not the goof, it's the neshama that defines him. Right? Mahashemus. And the name, right, the name which also comes from uppermost high. Hey, Mishmei Moroim, the neshama, this all comes from way high. And he says, V'yesh nishamos yirei elikim. There are neshamas of some erlich yidin. True yirei shumayim. Shehem gevoyim hagbe lamala yoyser mimalachei ashores. Okay? So there are neshamas, as he says, from human beings, that their neshamas are higher than malachim. And that's a concept that Reb Chaim drives home many, many times. To show the greatness of man, the godless Odom, that the godless Odom is, that his neshama, right? If he is bemis, if he lives up, he uses the neshama to what the neshama was created for, that the neshama is higher, higher, mamish, greater than malachei ashores. So the Avodah Zarah, therefore, to understand that the goof is not the ikar, the neshama is the ikar. Right? What was the marshal, if you might remember, what did we give? The money we gave here, you see two people in the car, right? But if you're in the cars, so who's in control? Well, the one is in the driver's seat is in control. The one is on the passenger side, he just goes along, he has no choice. Wherever the driver drives, he goes along. The question is, we have a goof in the neshama, so the question is, who's in the driver's seat? Is the neshama in the driver's seat? Or is it the goof that's in the driver's seat? If the neshama is in the driver's seat, the goof is only a passenger. That's what it's supposed to be. But if the neshama is in the driver's seat, the neshama, the goof is in the driver's seat, unfortunately, and the goof is the passenger. So this is the neshama. If a person understands the gevoya, the great high height that the neshama really reaches and comes from, is greater than malchus shoris. Now, v'da. Kikol ha'olamos, he says, all the olamos, heim ba'adrogeh ze'achazeh. The truth is, in Shemayim, there are many, many worlds. And there's each and every world is one is above the other. Each of the world, the mamish way, just like we find there's millions of stars, there's millions of olamos, there's millions of worlds up there. And they're not the same madrega. Each olam is a high madrega. Now, in the same way that the guf, right, our guf is a guf to the neshama is the spiritual entity, the guf, of course, is the body, between the various olamos also, by the way, between the various olamos, the olam that is lower, right, you have, let's say 1, 2, and 3, what? You have oilum number 1, and above it is oilum number 2, and then you have oilum number 3. It goes on endless, okay? 1, 2, and 3. Oilum number 1, right, which is lower, is in relation to oilum number 2. Oilum number 1 is the guf to oilum number 2. Oilum number 2 is the neshama. Again, the lower oilum, the lower oilum is like the guf to the upper oilum. Oilum number 2 is the guf also to oilum number 3. Oilum number 3 is the guf to oilum number 4. So again, 1, 2, and 3. Oilam number 1, which is lower, is the lowest, let's say, is a guf to oilam number 2. In other words, oilam number 2 is the neshama to number 1. But oilam number 2 at the same time is only a guf to oilam number 3. Each oilam is a guf to the oilam above it. And with all the neshamas of all the yidn also. When you have Reuven and Shimon, for example. Reuven has a neshama, Shimon has a neshama. Reuven's neshama is lower, Shimon's neshama is higher. Ruchayim says, Reuven's neshama, yes, it's a neshama. But in relation to Shimon, Reuven's neshama is the guf. Reuven's neshama is the guf to Shimon's neshama. Any neshama that's lower than the other neshama is like a guf to the other neshama. Because all neshamas are connected. It's not that separate. All neshamas come from one shayrish. Just like the guf and the, just within each individual, the guf and the neshama is connected. My guf is the guf to my neshama. One neshama to the other neshama, one is the guf, one is the neshama. Who is the guf, who is the neshama? The lower one is a guf, v'bchinas guf to the neshama. And that neshama is a guf to the higher neshama above it. And that neshama is also a guf to the neshama that's further higher. So every neshama is a guf to the neshama that's next to it, that's higher. Immediately higher. That's we find this, the concept that Reb Chaim here develops. Let's take a look very quickly. Again, Veda, Kikol Oilomis. First of all the Oilomis, Hem Bahadroge Zachazeh. Bahadroge means they're not the same level. One is higher, one is above the other. Ze Oilom Takas Oilom. One is lower than the other is even lower. V'chol oilam hu ke'ei neshama letachten memenu. Each oilam is like the neshama for the world that's below it. The world below it is the guf. Every oilam is like a neshama to the guf that's below it. The guf that's below it is like the guf. Derech Moshel. Takes even malachim. By malachim we have also madrigas. Not all malachim on the same level. What we say in the davening, right? V'ho'ifanim v'chayu yisakoydish. Baraj Godel Misnasim Lumasarofit. Chayes HaKodesh, these are, right, this is a category, a level of Malachim. Oifanim is another level. So says the Reb Chaim, says Reb Chaim, that the Derech Moshel, the Guf LaHachayes Heim Oifanim. The Chayes are on a higher level, the Malachim called Chayes on a higher level than the Oifanim. Meaning, that the Oifanim are the Guf to the Chayes. And the chayis are the neshama to the oifanim. So imagine you have malachim. Certain malachim are bebchinis neshama, certain malachim are bebchinis guf. Certain malachim are bebchinis neshama. The higher malachim are the neshama to the lower ones. The lower ones are the guf. Derech Moshel, again. Guf la hachayis, who's the guf to the chayis? These are the oifanim. The heim. And the chayis are neshama lo oifanim. V'nishmas hachayis, right? And the neshama of the chayis themselves. Right, humerikia, it comes from a higher, right, heaven, shal gaber rishayim. Now, umisham, and from the highest point, higher than the malachim, nishmas b'nei yodom ha'maminim b'toyre. So if you think about the chayos, you think about the yefanim, the chayos are above the yefanim, the nisham of man is even higher than the chayos. The nisham of man is higher than the chayos. V'yesh l'malo l'malo. It goes endless and endless. We don't have any asoge. We can't understand it. We can't comprehend it. Avosham also his boyin. In other words, it's even also to try to delve. You know, it comes behind the curtain. You know, you can't cross the line. You can't cross the line. Sham also his boyin b'me l'malo b'me l'mato. Sankoponim is the following. Imkein. Nishmas b'nei yodim ha'maminim b'toyret. Nishamas of people who believe in the Torah. Heim nisham alachayis. Can you believe it? You think about it. We are physical beings. Malachim are spiritual. Right? If you take a survey, anybody who didn't learn Ruach Chaim, the Gantz of Elf, 99% Right? Of people, you ask. You have malachim and you have human beings. Who is the guf and who is the neshama? Everybody's going to say, we are the guf, the malachim are the neshama, they're the ruchnis. No, the opposite. We are the neshama, the malachim are a guf. Compared to us, we are so spiritual, mitzad our neshama, that malachim are like the body, are the guf to us. Half of the film, incredible. Incredible. Would appear the opposite. If we compare man to a malach, man is the guf, the malach is the neshama. No, he says. We are the neshama to the malachim. Not that the malachim are neshamas to us. We are neshama to the chayas, and the chayas is a neshama to lefanim, right? The chayin lamato, and so it goes by a droge, and so it kaloilimus. Now, Vavron v'yitzchok, look what he says here. Vavron v'yitzchok, lo yizochu, he says, lo hoirit neshamas elu b'shlemus. Avram, these great neshamas, which are extremely high, above the malachim and so on, Avram v'yitzchok did not bring down these neshamas, these great madregedig neshamas, Rak Yaakov Zochel. Yaakovinu, who built Klal Yisrael. Yaakovinu, Eile Shemois B'nai Yisrael, now Boy Mitzrayim, right? We're building Klal Yisrael. Yaakovinu, who is Metos Shalema, he had only purity. In other words, there was no Russia in his, among his children. Yitzchok, of course, there was a Yaakov and an Esav. Avram Avinu, right? Had Yitzchok and Yishmael. Avram Avinu did not have a perfect bed, so to speak, right? There's one tzaddik, one rosha. Yitzchok did not have the perfect bed. It was, of course, that. Then you had Yitzchok, you had Yaakov and Esav. Yaakovinu had kulam kedoshim, shiftekok. So Yaakovinu zochel zevoy be'emes mitos shleima. Now, ubi Yisrael atzma. Now, even among Yidden themselves, not the neshamas of all yidn are the same. The neshama of one is higher than the other. So if we want to compare two neshamas, one neshama is a neshama, the other is the guf. The other's neshama is a guf to the other. The lower neshama, Reuven and Shimon, the lower neshama is like a guf to the higher neshama. The neshama of the chaver, who is lower, is a guf, right? Is the guf. And Mamela, what happens when you have a guf and a neshama? The guf receives spiritual energy from the neshama. So when you have two neshamas, Reuven and Shimon, the lower neshama receives energy from the higher neshama. When you have two yidin, Reuven and Shimon, the lower neshama is like the guf, the higher neshama is the neshama. So the guf always receives spiritual energy. It receives shefa. Receives shefa. Nishmas chaveira hu guf negu umakabela shifa memeno. And then the higher neshama, right, the higher neshama is a guf to the even higher neshama. So every neshama is a guf to the even higher neshama, like we said. So again, so the lower neshama again is a guf to the upper neshama. The neshama that's even lower now is a guf to that neshama. That's how it goes. The lower is always a guf compared to the other one. And it's makabel shefa, it's makabel spiritual energy, b'chein harbe madregas. Aval harishin. Okay, this is now the punchline, it says. The rishin v'agedoyle shebechol klolos Yisrael. What is the highest neshama of all? Because between Yidden, there's different levels of neshama. Different levels. So which is the first and the greatest of all klolos Yisrael? Hu harishin. It is the first neshama which all klal Yisrael receive spiritual energy from. What is the single neshama? What is the most single neshama that all of Klal Yisrael, Yeh Mishiyah, have to, because that's the highest neshama. We receive energy. You know who that is? Moshe Rabbeinu, as he says. The neshama of Moshe Rabbeinu. Hu Rishon v'Hagdula shebechol Klal Yisrael, Hu Harishon, he is the first, Asher Mimeno Meyesha Yishavum. It's from him that we draw the waters of salvation. It means the spiritual energy, Klal Yisrael. And the who? Moshe Rabbeinu? Kolul Mekulam. You know what Ruchaim is saying? Moshe Rabbeinu's neshama was not just his neshama. All the neshamas of the 600,000 Jews are Nichla Moshe Rabbeinu's neshama. All the neshamas of each and every Yid, we are part and parcel of Moshe Rabbeinu. We are Nichla of his neshama. Moshe Rabbeinu's neshama is Kolul, all the neshamas. It's like the Arizal says, by Ode Marishan. When Ode Marishan was the first man and the only man, when he was Choyte Neitz Adas, he was not only poigim in his neshama, the damage, he was plaguing him in all the neshamas that are also to become born. Why? Because when Adam Rishon was created, all the future neshamas were nichlal in Adam Rishon. All the future neshamas that were destined to be born down the line, all the neshamas were nichlal in Arizal in Adam Rishon. So in Rishon, Ephraim, the Eitz Hadas, all the neshamas became tainted. So therefore, each and every one of us has a tafkid to be misak our chelik, so to speak, in the chet of Adam Rishon. Because all the neshamas were nichlal in the neshamah of Adam Rishon. In a similar fashion, said the Rachaim, all the neshamas are nichlal in Moshe Rabbeinu. He says, "V'nei Moshe ha'yukolu mishishim riboy neshamas Yisrael." You hear that? Moshe Rabbeinu's neshama is like a composite. It's like a puzzle. 600,000 neshamas in one. That's Moshe Rabbeinu. "V'hu ha'yishar sham." Moshe Rabbeinu is the shayrish. He is the shayrish of all the neshamas of all the Eden. And that's the pshat the pasuk says in Bamidbar Yudalas. Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Sheish meyos elef ragli hom." We have 600,000 Jews, right? Sheish meyos elef asher noichi bekirboy. Translate the words. What's asher noichi bekirboy? Now, pasuk pshat means is I physically am among them. No. Asher noichi bekirboy. I am bekirboy in each and every one. The 600,000 Jews, asher noichi bekirboy. I am part of all of them. Asher noichi bekirboy. Rotzeloimar. What he means is bekerev kol echad vechad mehem. Moshe Rabbeinu is part and parcel of each and every Yid. Each and every Yid is a chelik of Moshe Rabbeinu. Ki nishmas kol echad o yechelik me Moshe. V'azeh om razal. And that's now a new meaning. Chazal tell us something very fascinating. We know that everybody heard of it in this week's parasha. That the kasher yano oisa, the more that the Mitzrim, right, try to afflict the Jewish people, right, ken yarbe v'chel yifroi, the more that they were pained, the more that they were afflicted, the more they multiplied. So Rashi said, what was the nest? Every woman gave birth what? Shisha bekeres echot. Every woman had six. What do you call it, sextuplets? What do you say? All right. So every woman had six. Everyone had six. Guess what? That's enough of a nest, right? To have six in one shot. So Yocheved was the mother of Moshe Rabbeinu. How much did she have? Look at the Chazal say. Well, there Omer Rabbeinu, Rabbi Sein, Rabbi Zuchon of Rabbi Medrash, Sheisha achas, one woman, exceptional woman, yoldo shishim riboy bekeres echad. She had 600,000. She had 600,000 in her womb. And that's Yocheved, really? Yocheved had 600,000? She had Moshe Rabbeinu, we know. Moshe Rabbeinu is 600,000 Jews. That's the 600,000. That's Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is the shayrish of all the 600,000. That's what it means that there was one woman that yoldo shishim riboy bekeres echad. Because that's Moshe Rabbeinu. He's the klal of all of them. And, as he pointed out, he says, that the neshamas of Yisrael, Achoponim, he says, come so high, and they're above the Jewish people, they're above the Malachim, and we learned about that the Malachim are not able to say Shira until they didn't say Shira. So let's go to the Sheet Rabbi side. I think we're a little late already, but we have to finish this thing, this part. All right. This is very, very fascinating. I have to tell you what we have here. And these are, we have here, the first two items is actually from Chaim Brisker. It's Reb Chaim Brisker, and yeah, you can see that this is vintage Reb Chaim. Vintage Reb Chaim Brisker. It's taken from a sefer called Imrechein. Imrechein, the grandfather happens to be a very choshering man, who his name is Rebuta Levenberg. His father had a yeshiva in Connecticut many years ago. It was a very well-known Rosh Yeshiva, and the Sefer Imrechein, very grand, very popular svarim. Anyway, there's one Sefer which is on Halal, and the Agdoma, he brings the following, and Rav Gifter, there also comments on this particular vort over there, that Sefer. That's comments. Kvanoi de bishabas rabim. Listen to this. First of all, we say Kedusha, right? Every day we say Kedusha. Shachris, by Mincha. And here is a new insight to few phrases. It's amazing insight to a few phrases that we say. Every day. Let's take a look. By the way, Nusach Ashkenaz. Alright? Nusach Ashkenaz. Kvanoi de bishabas rabim. Divrei moron, right? Hagrach. The marine we say, b'matbeya shela amiras kedusha. Lu'umasom baruch yomeir. What does it mean? Lu'umasom means, right, against them. Lu'umasom, right? Lu'umas means, right, on the opposite side. What do you mean that the malachim say, lu'umasom baruch yomeir, they say baruch ta'kodesh baruch hu? They say baruch kvayda shemam koimai, right? Lu'umasom, opposite them. Opposite, what does it mean? What does it mean, lu'umasom? What does it mean? Right, you say it. Lo umasam baruch yomeru. Said Reb Chaim. This is Reb Chaim. The kosher. Mawa kavona b'zeh. What does it mean? Umosom baruch yomeru. V'omar. Apima disi b'megila daf chav gimel. The Gemara tells us, Om Rav Chiya Barabbah, Om Rav Yechinen. Om Akro, it says, V'nigdashti b'soich b'nei Yisrael. V'nigdashti means, you want to say Kedusha? You have to have a minion. Kedusha cannot be said in private v'yichidus. Why? V'nigdashti b'soich b'nei Yisrael. And the Gemara dashes b'soich b'nei Yisrael, Gemara makes all gzereshov, and you have to have a minion. So because there's a Kedusha, has to have a minion. V'nigdashti b'soich b'nei Yisrael, and that's a cloud called Dover Shebikdusha, Nemeres rak biasora. Can only, right? Kodosh Kedusha lo yei pochis masora. Right? You have to have at least 10. Imkein. So now we have a basic kasha. Reb Chaim has a basic kasha. If Kedusha needs 10, the question is, Imkein, Mikiven, Shedova Shebikdusha, Nemeres rak biasora, kosher. Eich yechoil malachi asharas loim a Kedusha. Hare have a Dover Shebikdusha, ube malachi asharas loishayich tzibur shel asora. There's no concept of 10 of a minion by Malachi Shores. What's a minion? A minion are not 10 individuals, Rabbi Yisai. A minion are not 10 individuals. When you talk about a tzibur, a minion means that what? That the 10 people who form a minion, it's one entity. It's one entity called a tzibur. It's a tzibur are not 10 individuals. The 10 individuals create a tzibur. A tzibur is one entity. Lahavdil, when you have a corporation, you could have, right, 15 partners. But it's one entity. You don't view it as 15 entities. 15 partners, a corporation becomes one. Shutzim are not like that. Shutzim are two individuals who are partners. Itzibur is not a partnership of 10. Itzibur is one entity. The 10 become fused together as one. As a matter of fact, the Briskerov and the Rogichovers said the same thing. By Goyim, we also find the concept of Tzilu. Goyim can also daven. Goyim can pray. Davening is not something which is exclusive only for Yidden. The Gemara says Mefurish. The Gemara says Goyim also have a concept of Tzilah. So what is the exclusive, the Gemayla, among other things, that Yidden have over Goyim? So the Brisker Rav says in the Sefer, the Venerable Brisker says, Goyim do not have a concept of Tzilah B'tzibur. 10 Goyim are 10 individuals. Don't become a Tzibur. Don't become an entity of a Tzibur. Yidden have the concept of Tzilah B'tzibur, and we know the Mayla of Tzilah B'tzibur is in a totally different darge, way higher madrege than Tzilah Tzachit. If 10 goyim get together in daven, you have 10 individual davenings. Man gunish. You might as well daven each other, not be together. It's not different. Lemalav lemoirit. You're together, nish together, make it in. Malachim can't create a tzibur. Malachim can't create a tzibur. Abchaim asks, how can they say, Kedusha, Kodesh, Kodesh? Ein dover shebi Kedusha, pochus me'asora. Look at the Gevaldi Gitaris, look what Abchaim says. Elo, he says, demrinim b'chum, tav tzadik alev, the Gemara says n'chum, right? The A Malach Asher, we had it now in the Ruach Haim. A Malach Asher is Oimrim Shira Lamailo. The Malachim cannot say Shira in Shemayim. At She Yoimru Yisroel Lamato. Remember? Malachim have to wait for the Eden. Shenemar, the Posik we just had now in Ruach Haim with the Posik. The Ron Yachar Koich Veboiker, when the morning stars say Shira, means the Jewish people, they're stars, they are the stars. After that it says, right? After that, the Hodor, after that, Vayuriu called B'nei Elokim. Rav Chaim must explain this. Why is it that Malachim have to wait? Right? Malachim cannot say Shira until the Yidden say. Why? Why? Now, Reb Chaim says that. You have to make sure which Reb Chaim we're talking about. Reb Chaim Volozhin or Reb Chaim Brisker. We have two Reb Chaims over here. Okay, so let's not get confused. Reb Chaim Volozhin said, the idea is because Bnei Yisrael are on a higher level than Malachim. Being there on a higher level than Malachim, so the Malachim have to wait. You wait until the Yidden say Shira. Reb Chaim, from a Lomdish standpoint, Reb Chaim Brisker, from a Lomdish standpoint, gives a different reason. You know why? Malachim can't say Shira, you know why? Because they're not a tzibur. When 10 Yidin get together to say Kedusha, now you have a tzibur, the Malachim are mitzarev themselves to the Jewish people. Now they have become part of the Ched, they are mitzarev themselves. They are sort of like, they latch themselves on, they hook themselves on. And being that they are mitzarev themselves to the Jewish people, we already have a tzibur, so they basically connect to the existing tzibur. That's why on themselves, by themselves, they can't say Shira, because they cannot create a tzibur. Let's take a look. Labir, he says, the af legabe malach ha-shoris l'shayach ben tzibur. By the malachim is not shayach tzibur, uba'atzmom einim yechoinim lo'im kedusha. Mekol mokem, nevertheless, la'achad Yisrael oimim kedusha, but once when Yidin say kedusha ba'asora, yechoinim malach ha-shoris l'itztaref yachad la'atzibur shel Yisrael v'loim kedusha. Oh, So now he says, look how beautifully it fits into the Lashon when we say Kedusha. Ubezem is bayar. Now listen. Now we understand, Masha Oimrim, we say in the Kedusha, Shel Tfilas Musaf. We say, Kevoidoi Molei Oilom, right? Because Baruch Hu's covered is all over the world. Mishas of Shoyalim, right? The Mishas of Al asking, Ayim Ekoim Kevoidoi, and the answer is, Umosom Baruch Yemeru. Let's understand what's going on over here. First of all, let's stop for a moment. Poshe Pshat, right? I think we've been saying it right for about 50 years already, okay? It says, Kevoidoi Molei Oilom. Because Baruch Hu's covered is all over. So what does it mean, Mishas of Shoyalim, Ayim Ekoim Kevoidoi? You just asked it. Kevoidoi Molei Oilom. So what are they asking? What? Poshe Pshat, right? We say it every time. We keep us. Why is it Poshe Pshat, right? You've already said it hundreds of times. Kevoidoi Molei Oilom, because Baruch Hu's covered. Mishas of Shoyalim, Mishas of the Malachim. Mishas of Shoyalim, Ayim Ekoim. What do you mean, Ayim Ekoim Kevoidoi? You just said it, Kavoidim Aloylam. Question is different. Kavoidim Aloylam. But the Malachim say, I am Kavoidim, how can we give Kavod to Kodesh Baruch Hu? After all, to say a Darvish of Kedusha, we need 10. Malachim can't create a Tzibur. What the answer is? L'umasam, we're opposite the Jewish people, Baruch Yomeiru. That's what we can say. That's the L'umasam Baruch Yomeiru mean. That's the Pchaim. Pchaim Brisket. Mamish. Tremendous. That's it. Malachim understand, l'umasam, without them, we cannot say anything. L'umasam, opposite them, we are opposite, we have a tzibur, by the Yidin, created tzibur. L'umasam baruch yomeres, let's see again, nochamol. The pshat is, again, ubezem is boi ma'ashoimrim, where we say taki b'kdusha, shel tfilas musaf, kevoidim olo yoylom, mishosof sheyalim zelo ze, ayim ikon kevoidoi. And we say, l'umasam baruch yomeres, what does this all this mean? Haino. What it means is, it's true that Kodesh Baruch Hu's covered is everywhere. Mekonokim, nevertheless, Mishars of the Melachim, right, who serve Hashem, Shoyalim Zelazet, Ayim Mekon Kavoid Eloi Makedusha. How are we able, right, where do we find ourselves to be able to say Kedusha? So Vezedom Rinnah, so we answer, Le Umasom Baruch Yomeiro, Haina Le Umas Klal Yisrael. The umas klalis of kishehino emre kedusha rak oz boruch dan kedusha emeiru. Then the malachim can say, that's what it is. Malachim cannot create a tzibur. We need the existing creation of a tzibur of the Yisrael. So he says further. Reb Chaim added more. If you remember, he says, and he said again. He said, is there now a beer in Nusach Sfard? In Nusach Sfard, okay. So we have an equal time here. Before we said Nusach Ashkenaz, now in Nusach Sfard. Shekedusha the Tfilas Musaf. We say, Kese Yitlu Cho Hashem Alekeinu, right? Malochim Hamoine Malo. We are giving, right? We are giving a crown to you, Akori Baruch Hu. The Malochim Hamoine Malo. The Malochim are the Hamoine Malo, the multitude up, way up high. Hamoine Malo. They're the Hamoin in Shemayim. Im Amcho Yisroel Kibbutzei Mato, who are gathered together down here. Yachad Kulam Kedusha Olocho Yishaleshu. So, listen to the pshat, how it fits in so beautifully. Bahainu, the Malach Ashores, they are called Hamoin Emalo. Hamoin Emalo means you don't have a tzibur. We know Hamoin, we say Hamoinah. What's Hamoinah mean? Hamoinah means it, the way you have a multitude of people. Right? You have people. You have a multitude of people. The Malachim are called Hamoin Emalo. They're not a tzibur. It's a Hamoin Emalo, it's a Hamoinam. Mention doom, Malachim here, Malachim over there, Malachim all over the place. Hamoin Emalo. The Moshe Hamoin Emalo means is the what that you don't have a tzibur for the tzibur. So Malachim or Hamoin Emalo, how can they say Kedusha? They're Hamoinam, they're Stam Hamoinam. But they collect a lot of people, a lot of Malachim, a lot of different Malachim. So Mishum de Ein La Din Tzibur, they don't have a Din Tzibur, Hamela Kol Echad Hu Bifnei Atzmoi, the Ein La Tzirv Shel Tzibur. Therefore they're called Hamoin. Hamoin means what is? A bunch of Malachim. One is not connected to the other. So Mosai HaMalacha Ashoras Yechoyim Loim Kedusha. The answer is Im Amcho Yisrael Kivutzei Mato. We are Kivutzim. We have a Tzibur. Kivutzei Mato means we are a Tzibur. Im Amcho Yisrael, the Malachim, the Hamoin and Malo, they are not a Tzibur. But Im Amcho Yisrael Kivutzei Mato. We are a Kivutzim. We are Kivutz. We are Yisrael Nikbotzim Lamato. When Yidden come together, right? When Yidden come together, Nikbotzim Lamato b'Torah Tzibur. The Kim the Yeshlem Din Tzibur. When the Yidden have a Din Tzibur. So now they connect together. And that's why the Yidin Mishim Hochi Nikro Kivutzei Mato. The Yidin are called the Kivutzei Mato because they make a Tzibur. Their Kivutz is a Kivutze. They're called Kivutzei Mato. Yachad, now all together means the Malachim with the Yidin. That's Yachad. Yachad means the Malachim together with the Yidin. Kulam kedusha l'choy yishaleishu. Because kishyesh din sibra miyisrael, when you have a din sibra miyisrael, yicholam ha-malach ha-shores, l'istarv la-tsibra v'loim kedusha b'yachad. Okay, that's one. There's one more small item here, number two. And you see how Rabbi Chaim said very beautifully also. Now every day, right, we say the Shira Sayyam Oz Yoshim Moshe. Now you might remember the time of Kriyas Yam said not only the men said Shira, the women also said Shira. Now what was the lotion? Let's take a look. Void Omar Moran Hagrach. Rabbi Chaim said another thing. The Zer Birak Rom Mamish, that's the Pshat in the Pasuk. Mamish, new insight. The Praj Bishalach. It says, Vatan Lohem Miriam Shiru Lashem. Miriam responded to them. Who's the to them? Does Vatan Lohem mean she responded to the women? Or does Vatan Lohem have some shaykhs to the men? Who's the Lohem? Vatan, the Yid Ozo Shemoich of Nesrol. Yid was saying Shira. Vatan Lohem Miriam. Who's the Lohem? To whom? Who's the Lohem? Vatan Lohem. Vatan Lohem Miriam Shira Lashem. Vihine. Vatan Lohem Miriam Yeshna Shnei Perushim. Vatan, she answered. Miriam answered. To whom did she answer? There's two Perushim. One pshad is the onsol the noshim gufa. She answers. She responds to the women. Ve'oid pirish lohem daike the onsol la hanoshim to the men. So the question is, what did she? What did she have to respond to the men? What she? What's that said to the men? The men are saying shira. What does it mean vatan lohem? Miriam responded to the men. What did she got to do with the men? Let her sing for herself. Let Miriam get. What's vatan lohem? Why does she have to respond to the men for? What shaykes does the women singing have with the men? Vatan lohem. Will the perish Hasheni kosher? The pshat lohem means that she answered to the men. Loma Miriam hoyse tzricha le'anos la'anoshim. Veloma miyad lo yischila loshir im anoshim guva. By the way, why did Miriam have to wait till the men finished singing? Just like the men started, said, let Miriam sing. Let Miriam and the women sing where they sing. It seemed like the men sang, and then Miriam sort of like, right? There's like secondary. What's the secondary thing? Ubir bezeh, listen more on Hagrach. So Chaim Briska said the following. Vayom alachadish, the amiras shira nam and nichla bechlal dovish abigdusha. Shira also like a dovish abigdusha need a minion. According to many opinions, halal needs a minion. According to many opinions, right? For example, if halal rish chodesh, there are some opinions that you don't make a bracha. You know, according to the svardish epoiskim, if dam biyachidus, you don't say a bracha on halal. So Reb Chaim wants to say shira, the other shemoshe like a dovish abigdusha need minion. Vim ki kosher, then you have the obvious question. Vikim the kaimlon, we paskin, called dover shibigdusha le poches masora. A dover shibigdusha needs 10. Vahari mevur, we already said that for a tzibur, 10, you need 10 over bar mitzvah, 10 men over bar mitzvah, right? You have to have asora and noshim gidoyon. Question is, how can women say shira? They don't have a tzibur. If shira is like a dover shibigdusha, b'chaim with machad, shira is like a dover shibigdusha. A dover shibigdusha needs a tzibur. Women are not a tzibur. Then women can't make a minion. The answer is Vatan Lohem Miriam. Men were singing. Men had a tzibur of men. So tell them by the Malachim, he said, even though they don't have a tzibur, but they can like be mitzarev themselves to the men. So Reb Chaim said, because the kasha was again, Vimkein Eich Omra Anoshim Shira Bishas Kriyas Hayom Harei Ein Lohem Din Tzibur Klal El Habir Vimkvar Yesh Tzibur Shel Anoshim. If you already have a tzibur of Anoshim, Harei Oz. And that's the pshat in the pasuk. Zeu bira klo v'ta'an lohem miriam. The omra shir dafke imu anoshim. The bishor she yisrael omra shira v'hoye kvar din tzibur. Histarfu anoshim loyim ashira imohem. They say share with him. So let's just end, Rabbi Isai. The parsha vayechi, of course, was discussing about the chesed you do in ma'mesim. A chesed that you do with mesim is called a chesed shalemis. Chesed you do in ma'mesim is called a chesed shalemis. Because the mace, of course, is not able to pay you back. So that's kuloi, it's a chesed shalem, you're doing chesed for the sake of chesed. As we know, and that's why chevra kedishas and so on are called by different names. You find chevra chesed shalem and so on to deal with burial and so on. Reb Simcha Wasserman, you know, the son of Reb Elchonah Wasserman, that we mentioned many times, we had the schus again to have him here. We had the schus to have him at the Shabbos table many times. He used to come and there used to be a breakfast still in the old shul, goes back many years, in the 80s, in the early 80s, to have a breakfast like every year. The Mr. Pinny Hoffman actually was the one who was involved and with the Simcha Wasserman. But we had him for Shabbos though. So Reb Simcha actually, so he was nifter in 1992. So he settled in Eretz Yisrael somehow in the 70s. he came from California. He had a yeshiva in California, and he started a yeshiva in Los Angeles. He started a yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael in the name of his father, Ur Elchanan, together with Rav Moshe Mordechai Chodosh. Rav Moshe Chodosh was the son of the great Mashgiach Rav Meir Chodosh, Mashgiach of Hebron, right, and so on and so forth. By the way, it's very interesting just to mention on the side. Simcha was nifter, Beis Chevron. Happened to be Yortzeit, my father's Yortzeit. So I happened to be in Eretz Yisrael at that time. So 1992, my father's nifter before that. So I tried to be in Eretz Yisrael at that time. As I mentioned, I was walking through the streets of Yerushalayim. And Yerushalayim, you know how they are, Madia Elavaya. You know, there's loudspeakers on the cars and they go through all over the streets of Yerushalayim. You know, it's Elavaya. And right away you hear who it is and they tell you what time it's going to be and where it's going to be and so on and so forth. And I hear Elavaya of Simcha Vasim. So right away, make my way to Ramayim over there. That's where the yeshivas are, or Lachana, and so on and so forth. 2 or 3 years later, anyway, happened to be in Yerushalayim. Again, it's the Beis Chevron, my father's Yortzeit. And I happened to be walking in the street of Yerushalayim, was in Geula, wherever it was. And who did I meet? Rav Moshe Chodosh. I said, oh, very good you're here. You had the Psimcha many, many Shabbos, and we used to come to queue down the hills. So I want you to come to yeshiva and say, Hesped, that's his Yortzeit. I'm Psimcha Wasserman. He said, I have one problem. He said, I don't speak Hebrew. You say in Yiddish. Say it in any, say Loshin Kodesh, say it in Hebrew, say it any way that you want to say it. Anyway, so we reminisced and a lot of the things that I heard from him, you know, and so on and so forth, from Simcha, which there is not now that time to talk about that. But upon him, so I just want to mention, so in Yerushalayim, Reb Simcha Yerushalayim, he had a very close relationship with a Knesset member, Reb Shlomo Lawrence. He was very close. Reb Lawrence passed away in 2009. So, you know, very well known, Reb Shlomo Lawrence. And he represented the Kudus Yisrael. And they were Chavruses. They were Chavruses. Reb Simcha Wasserman and Reb Shlomo Lawrence were Chavruses. So Reb Simcha and his Rebbetzin, that they bought burial plots. They bought burial plots, he says, in Har HaMenuchos. Har HaMenuchos, that's where they bought burial plots. And I might have mentioned in the past, there was a reason why I mentioned, for good reason, but that they passed away mamish one after the other. Reb Simcha was nefter first, Beis Chevron. She sat Shiva. A few days later, Mom, she passed away. She sat Shiva for him, and she passed away like one after the other. Fine. Many years earlier, Reb Shlomo Lawrence, as I said, who was a Chavrusa of Reb Simcha, he bought a burial plot in Har HaZeisim. He bought a burial plot in Har HaZeisim, which, by the way, which is the oldest cemetery. And it is mentioned that when Mashiach comes, Tchias HaMeisim will be first to the Meisim in Har HaZeisim. That's one of the Kabbalists regarding Har HaZeisim. But anyway, so Shlomo Lawrence already had bought a burial plot in Har HaZeisim. After Reb Simcha and his Rebbetzin passed away, so interesting, Reb Shlomo Lawrence told his family that he wants to sell his plot. He wants to change. He wants to sell his plot in Har HaZeisim and buy one on Har HaMenuchos to be next to Reb Simcha. But his reason was not stam to be next to Reb Simcha. For that alone, not being Mishana Ekever. The reason he said was because of very sensitive reason. I'm talking about Chesed Shalemus. The reason was the Simcha and his Rebbetzin had no children. So Reb Shlomo Lawrence said to his family, who is going to come to be Mispala at the Kever if they have no children? Reb Shlomo says, Baruch Hashem, Ichab Yachinder, I have children. If he buys a Kever next to Reb Simcha, so when his children, Reb Shlomo's children, will come to be mispala the kever of Reb Shlomo, they'll be mispala by Reb Simcha as well. Well, listen, what happened? Kachave, he sells his plot on the Har HaZeisim, and Taki buys a plot right next to Reb Simcha, right? 17 years later, after Reb Simcha, Reb Shlomo passes away. Yeah, 17 years later, Reb Shlomo Lawrence, Rabbi Yisai, passed away on Rish Chodesh Cheshvan, a time where you don't go on the kever. The first opportunity is to come on Beis Cheshvan, Reb Simcha's Yortzeit. That's when they came to be in Spala. That was the plan, and this is the way the Rabbi Yisrael planned it. It was Nifter Rish Chodesh, and the kid that came in Beis Cheshvan, and that's exactly Reb Simcha's Yortzeit. And that was the plan why he wanted to be there, to allow the children to come to be in Spala. Chesed Shalemus.